I have this curse where I memorize jingles that have nothing to do with me. Like I can't remember birthdays sometimes.
Yeah.
But jingles.
What about
1-800-45-Closet, Closet World. You can double your closet space. Make your garage a needy place. We design and build it all. So why don't you give us a call? 1-800-45-Closet, Closet World.
Call now.
And now you can step out of it.
That's great.
Dude.
I remember the jingle for Vagisil.
Okay, let's hear Vagisil.
Okay, just call my bluff.
I'm not a good poker player.
Dude. They have to have like a jingle. Something
if
about.
You got a stank puss, put some of this between your legs and the cream will dissolve and make it really.
This sounds like you're making it up.
Okay. Yeah. That was. Sorry.
Dude, we haven't recorded in a few months, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it because we've been avoiding this or because we've been fucking busy across a few continents?
Literally, what's crazy too is it's not from a lack of being in Mexico. Like I am literally here every week. It's just we've been nonstop. We've been the times that probably we would be recording. Somebody else was recording in here.
Yeah.
So we've had like Cody and other people and stuff. Yeah. So it's just.
We just have been otherwise engaged.
Dude.
we did our first Euro trip.
Yeah. First time you've been out of United States of Mexico.
Yeah. First time in Europe, dude.
Painless. Oh, no. Yeah. You were in Canada.
Yeah. But first time in Europe.
Yeah.
Which is, I get it now, dude. There's a whole meme in Mexico about imagine living in Switzerland and missing out on whatever horrible shit is happening on the street in Mexico whatever weird shit is happening in Mexico. And I never understood what that meant until I went to Switzerland. I realized,
really nice.
It's really nice.
It's really expensive. It's
very safe, boring. And
it is kind of boring.
I mean, it's great. I mean,
in a good way.
Yeah. Like, yeah. There's nobody.
Imagine being bored. 'Cause it's so safe.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And they told us this is a very safe, very nice and boring place. Like, oh
yeah. Like I honestly, 2 days in Switzerland would have been enough, huh?
I don't know. It was great.
We did a lot,
but it was,
we had a great time,
dude.
And Ollie, our host, is.
Yeah. So we were invited out there to put on the first seminar that we've done in Europe. Mm-hmm. We did a full weaponology class out there and we had a lot of people show up for that.
Yeah.
From all over. When I say all over, I mean people from other parts of Europe. We have people who are war fighting currently in certain conflicts out there. Pretty interesting people.
Certain military police organizations. These are all paying people. Like
this. Yeah. We just had a bunch of ninjas show up to this one. Like very high level people showed up to it and honored by it.
Which led to more contacts, actually.
Yeah,
for me,
we're kind of blown away by the amount of people that showed up, and also the varied amount of experiences that they had, and also that they've been following us.
We had a few Americans there,
yeah,
and a Mexican,
and a Mexican dude, yeah. a Whitexican that showed up there.
Ooh, that's rude.
It's fine.
Is that a derogatory term?
No, it's not. It's like because he's,
well, yeah,
because
in Mexico, because the whiter you are, the better.
But he was like, everybody was like, "Is that guy Mexican?" He's like, "No, he's we have blancos down there too."
Yeah.
The amount of people that showed up with this pre-existing knowledge base on us, basically fans of the brand, fans of the Instagram account, and just people that have wanted to train with us for years.
That class sold out really quick.
Was amazing. I mean, for me, like I'm just a skit from TJ. I have no idea what I was even doing out there in Europe. But apparently there is a need and or a vision of some of this training being possibly needed. So that was pretty cool.
I would have thought Germany would probably be like where we are the most like sought after because of if you're going by where the orders go to, because we do ship a pretty good amount to Switzerland, but for whatever reason, we have a large fan base in Germany. So, but there were a ton of like Germans from all over that came to this class.
It's basically, Switzerland is basically French, German, Italian mixed.
Yeah, I wasn't even trying.
I was trying to figure out what everybody was about, but that's apparently kind of the mixture there.
But everybody speaks English. Like,
yeah,
pretty much everybody that was in the class spoke English, right?
And a few Spanish speakers, like a very, very cool Castilian Spanish that they learned in school.
I'm glad he was willing to be your tackling dummy too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had to figure somebody out.
I'm not doing that shit no more. telling you, if you want the full experience in a weaponology class, go ahead and volunteer to be Ed's dummy.
No,
because I'm not gonna do it anymore.
Not at all. I'm very, very, very easy on. Dude, I'm.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you better say that, because or else nobody's gonna volunteer.
It's always the young guys. They have a lot of adrenochrome. They can heal quicker.
Yeah,
like Wolverine, I guess.
Yeah, they don't have to drink baby blood.
No, you know, I don't. I mean, I try and do a very light demo. That's Eddie's just being trying to scare you.
Bitch, please. We were at that Air Force thing. You literally threw me across a fucking table, and like it looked like a wrestling match. And the dudes that were sitting at the table were like, "God damn!"
And then they said, "Like, hey, can you do that to the new guy?"
Oh yeah, and then he took over. Thank God.
Yeah, I like
the young buck.
Yeah, dude. The it was weird. Like for me, from being from Mexico, going to a place like that where I get why the Europeans make fun of the U.S. now, specifically Switzerland. They got it together. In a lot, not always, but in a lot of ways,
the quality of life is pretty good there. Like I get the impression that they aren't very stressed there, and it's not a very like from Mexico and the United States. It's just like a constant, like you know, like.
Yeah,
going, 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 and over there it's just like, no, we're gonna take our time and
yeah, but they're probably not stressed, but I get the whole description that a lot of them would tell us, the whole aspect of it. Yeah, this is a very safe, nice, boring country, and they would say like boring with like some
I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing. I
yeah, but from their perspective, you know, we come from an exciting place.
Yeah, I would. I mean, because there's a lot you can do, especially during the winter. If you're a fan of snow sports, like you have the greatest stuff to do. And in the summer, it's just like perfect for hiking. So if you're into the outdoors, then Switzerland is like your go-to place. But I could see it being boring if you're not into that.
Or if you're into cheese, melted cheese specifically.
If you are into cheese, potatoes, and bread,
melted,
move to Switzerland.
Dude. What do you think about our first dinner there? Like, I've never had fondue ever.
Was fondue our first dinner?
Yeah.
Okay, so, we're like, it was cool. It was just like this little Christmas cabin thing, you know, and we're all sitting there with our host and some friends.
It's a seasonal thing out there.
Yes. And so they bring you like this pot of melted cheese and bread and potatoes. And that's it, right? Bread and potatoes?
Yeah, that's like we were expecting.
So you dip it in the cheese. So we're like, we're swirling it around. It's like, oh, this is good. And even my son's like, hey, when's the meat coming out? Like, he's like, my son's all, I need some protein. He straight up said those exact words. And I'm kind of looking around too. And I was like, you have like these little mini potatoes and they got pieces of stale bread, which they're supposed to be stale. And I'm like, all right, I guess nothing else. I'm like looking around to see if anybody else has got some meat that was supposed to be some sausage or something.
Nah.
Nope, it was bread and potatoes. And I was like, fuck it, we're getting full on bread and potatoes tonight, carving up. And it was really good, but it was weird. Like, I would have wanted some like sausage.
No, it's hard. It's a hearty meal of for bread peasants.
But it was good. The cheese was really good.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
Even
but
the burnt cheese at the bottom, you're supposed to scrape it, and that was really good.
Yeah, all that was great. Yeah. But for me, I'm like, yeah, we're. Where are the tortillas? Like that is a quesadilla, you know, dude.
Imagine.
Right. If I had a stack of tortillas, I could have done like some fondue.
This is it right here. This is right. You fry up some chorizo, put it in the tortilla.
Yeah, you put some fucking chorizo
dip it into the cheese.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Fuck.
Switzerland.
Like a taquito of
fusion that shit. Just get some Mexican chorizo
out
there.
My mouth is salivating thinking about it.
Yeah, get some fucking really Mexican chorizo and some fucking tortillas. Larina.
Damn.
Yeah, we're going to ruin their cuisine.
Put a little egg in there. Oh my God.
Dude, we're going to ruin their cuisine forever. I went to this market to try and get an energy drink, and the energy drink section of that market was...
Yeah, it's really small. Like, so is their coffee section too.
Yeah.
But it was what's weird is they have like these lattes and cups already made, and because iced coffee was kind of hard to find, and they have it.
It's not healthy,
probably. But here's the thing. Like normally, like regular milk will totally fuck up my stomach. I can drink
that
whatever they're doing that's different than America and Mexico. It is.
Yeah.
I can drink like their regular milk and I wasn't all upset or anything.
Yeah. Royal dates, like fresh dates.
Oh, yeah. Those are really good.
Fruit. Yeah.
You can get full on like deli meats, like the good shit too. Like,
yeah.
Fucking Wagyu and like in like the gas station.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you come back here to 7-Eleven, you're like, fuck.
Yeah. Every kind of pastry you want. Yeah. 7-Elevens are bad. 7-Elevens are actually worse in Mexico, I think, than the United States. But Oxxo is the champion.
Yeah,
of everything. Oxxo has the best treats in Mexico.
Yeah, Circle K's in Mexico are another weird experience you haven't had yet. Circle K's.
I think. Was it 7-Eleven or Circle K that's in Mexico? Do they have them both?
Both. Yeah.
Okay. I think one of them sucks.
Yeah, it was 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven sucks.
Yeah.
It used to be AM/PM before it turned into 7-Eleven here.
I wouldn't want AM.
They were famous for their, like, if you were really hungover or drunk in the middle of the night,
nasty cheeseburgers.
You would stop there and get some of those nasty fucking microwave cheeseburgers. They were a thing for a while.
Oxxo has the best snacks when you go. So if you're driving in Mexico, you see Oxxo 7-Eleven or whatever, go for Oxxo. They got the best snack.
And the best drip.
The best what? Oh, they do have the best drip.
Dude, they have the best drip.
High fashion, yeah.
High fashion shit.
I regret not buying that.
That Oxxo shirt. That's
Oxxo shirt we saw on the streets.
I saw an Oxxo jacket on eBay, but they wanted too much for it.
Yeah, no, we got to buy it on the streets from somebody who legit probably stole it or something.
I don't know. The fascination with Oxxo. Looking weird.
It's legit. It's good.
Yeah, it's a good company.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the future. They just opened up the first one in Texas, apparently.
I learned that there's also the silver Oxxos.
Like the rich people.
Yeah.
Chingon.
Fuck. Hala verga.
But I don't think they're going to match up Switzerland, though.
No,
we were in what part of like
we were in, I can't even pronounce it, for the first part we were in Aurora, if that's correct.
Sure.
It's like AAURUA or something like that. And then we were there for the training aspect, and then we were driven right to Zurich. Is that how we got there? And then we stayed in an Airbnb in Zurich. Because Zurich is very expensive. Like, it's hard to find.
There's a lot of billionaires there, apparently, living around that
area. Money laundering. So
No.
I mean,
legitimate
laundry
business.
So it was hard when I was booking this trip. It was really hard to find. Like, I mean, we could afford a decent hotel, but like, everything was like $500 to $1,000 a night. It was crazy. And I found this Airbnb, which was actually like kind of in the middle of downtown Zurich, which was reasonably priced, and it was nice. I mean, it had all the stuff you would need. We were only there to sleep.
It had a few weird signs at the bathroom, which is apparently like a generalized thing all over Switzerland.
They don't want you peeing standing up if there's a toilet.
Yeah. There was a sign saying don't piss standing up.
Switzerland guys are just like, apparently. Yeah.
I don't think it's for the locals. I think that's like for the foreigners.
Mm. Which ones? Dude,
when we went to that train station, remember? Where they had the urinal and they
dude. There was a picture of a guy.
A dude fucking somehow squatting
making
on the
popo in the urinal. There was a sign that said don't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah. Who do you think that was for?
Hey, in the comments, write which ethnic, how do you say that word?
Ethnicity.
Ethnicity that you think makes popo in the urinals.
I don't know. I don't think it was for us. I don't maybe.
No.
Because I've seen bubbles in urinals in the fucking LA.
I've seen them too.
It's
impressive.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
But and also
imagine like you either
shoe
gotta,
marks,
you
the
either
shoe marks
get,
on the toilet like that. Dude,
you either got to like get, you got to back it up in there and just be like, or like How do you like, you got to get in the urinal and just be like,
I'd say it's a buddy system. You have to hold somebody's shoulders, like somebody's standing in front of you, holding it. You're just like, you're squatting. You wouldn't do that for me.
I think you got to like back it up like you're twerking, like, bah, 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 but then you got to like, I think you have to like have some back pressure behind it to kind of launch it into the urinal.
But the picture that we saw was a dude
sitting in the urinal.
No, his feet were on the brim of it somehow.
That's right. He was squatting.
He was squatting on the brim. Squatting.
Maybe it was for Russians, like how they squat with the AKs. That's kind of like how he was.
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe it's a Russian thing.
I don't know if it's for the
slots. In the comments, let us know what race craps in urinals. Because we don't know. Inquiring minds want to know.
But every bathroom we would hit, it had a sign. And we took pictures throughout the trip. Like they were like, wait, where are you finding these signs? They're
fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Like even in like nice places, it's like weird fucking signs.
Don't
dude. you were on in this same Airbnb. We had to set up a makeshift studio so you could be on Pierce Morgan.
I did a live broadcast from the apartment with Pierce Morgan. I was on there.
And you told everybody we were in Sweden instead of Switzerland. That's good.
Offsec. And actually we're talking about Venezuela.
That's crazy because you went on there to talk about that and then it fucking happened.
Yeah. That was a weird thing.
What else before we get into Venezuela?
The transit system in Europe is pretty great.
It's not bad. So I was able to, ChatGPT was like a huge help in planning this trip.
Like this is something I've learned from you. You use ChatGPT to like
build the whole itinerary. And then it also told me which apps to download, which, what would be the most affordable way. Cause originally I was going to rent a car which is fine and all, but driving isn't the problem. And gas really isn't even the issue. The issue is parking. It's like extreme. That's where you lose all your money is trying to find a parking spot. Cause you just can't park anywhere for free. It's you can buy
everything's permit.
I learned that you can buy passes from the police department to park every 24 hours. So I would have had to find a police department or something like that every 24 hours to buy a parking pass. Fucking nightmare. But Uber is actually relatively price low there. The transit system is really good. You just use the app and you use Apple Pay. It worked.
Trams and trains really
well.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I think it worked really well. Once you figured out, okay, we're going in the right direction. Cause we did fuck up on that a couple times, but, it was really good.
Safe. I think most of the issues we encountered were related to not being from being ignorant about everything. We went to the Victory Knox fucking store, which was hilarious. Because we were looking for we've made the Victory Knox Bird's Beak paring knife, probably one of their best selling knives.
I have a feeling there's something to it. Why? Because literally every other knife they make, we went to the flagship factory store.
And they did not.
That knife is not there.
It's not there
at all.
If you want
every other single knife is available.
And think about it. It's their probably one of their best selling kitchen knives, at least. For reasons.
And it's not because it's low price, because that knife is like around like $6 or something. No, it's not because of low price, because they had other low priced Victorinox knives.
It's because a weirdo in Mexico has been posting about it for almost 10 years now.
It's not there. So we got our kids ordered, which is kind of cool. They ordered, they designed their own, Swiss Army knives from Victorinox.
Oh yeah, they have great stuff. My kid had
one of our kids had a more angrier version.
my kid just put. So my kid likes the folding knives they sell that have the screwdriver attachment because she likes to flip it open and be able to punch with it because she's that type of kid, and she had the handle lasered. I hate you. Imagine this nice Swiss lady and this little girl's like, what do you want on it? I hate you.
And I was there for that. And she's like, oh, what do you want engraved on? And then she's all, here you go. And she's all,
I hate you.
This is her face.
and then
that's what you want?
Yeah.
And then she's all,
yeah. Is it, you don't want okay. that? You want that on the blade? No, the handle. And then I was like, why specifically the handle? And she's like, so if I use it in self-defense, he's going to look down on it and he's going to see the sign that says, I hate you.
God damn. That's premeditated. That's yeah, fuck.
Funny. We had a conversation about it, but also funny though, yeah. And pretty cool.
My son's all like, I'm going to put our last name so we can pass it down to our kids.
Your daughter's like, I hate you.
I'm going to leave this final message. But no bird speak knives though. And no. we went around
every cutlery shop, which is there's a lot. Swiss are into
knives
and like cutlery and like kitchen stuff. It became a mission to find this fucking knife. We found it on the last day, huh?
Yeah,
the last day. We finally found like this kitchen shop, and I still have them at the shop. I need to have the sheaths made for them, but I still have them at the shop. And we found the red ones, which are, I think, a UK or I think a Europe exclusive.
Yeah.
So we bought a bunch of red ones. I bought the wooden handle ones.
Yeah.
It took a lot of shopping around to find them. I was on a mission.
Pretty surreal to go to their flagship store and ask for it and then get some looks around it, because it's like they know. Like, people show up there and ask for that specific thing. And they're like, oh, here's these other weirdos asking for that same knife. So I don't,
it'd be really cool if like we had an insider there who's just like,
Hey, Victory Knox, I'm sorry. Like, but like, hey,
you're done good.
You're good. I need to invest in these companies before I promote them, I guess.
Probably.
Same thing happened with the Pioneer Woman knife. I don't know. Let me see which, probably going to invest in a tire repair kit company.
Yeah, really. Probably should. So we, One thing that I notice is I like Switzerland better at night. Like, it's way more prettier at night.
Yeah.
Especially during Christmas time with the lights and stuff. We went to all kinds of Christmas markets, did a lot of that. You almost got pickpocketed.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, dude. A dude reached into my...
Of all people to
pickpocket. This, I don't know where he was from. I'm going to guess he was some sort of Middle Eastern.
He's a young kid, small too, yeah, right?
Yeah, skinny 20-year-old Middle Eastern kid, I think.
And if anywhere that's going to happen, it's going to probably be the Christmas markets, because it is like nut the butt packed in these things.
So basically, the kid went into a person's pocket in front of me and didn't pull anything out. And then he tried the same with me, and I grabbed that little guy. That dude's
and
you're wrist.
Like, hey, Eddie, pickpocketer. And then I'm like looking around, because I'm in front of you. I'm like, oh, shit, we're about to fucking get in it. And then you let him go, because I think...
I mean,
your daughter was like...
Yeah, she freaked out. She freaked out of it, and I was not going about to go into a fist fight with this dude. So I just let him go. But he had the grip on him. But that's probably the only thing that happened, realistically.
Yeah, that's the only thing that was like.
And
we were already ready for that. Like, we had our stuff. Even if he went into your pocket, I don't even think he was going to get it.
He was going to get a fucking napkins. That's all he was going to get. I mean, for me, it was the experience of seeing this country where there's a very high level of living standards. As somebody coming from a country like Mexico, which is a developing country, you know, apparently not third world, although some people say it is, going from a place like that where that type of stuff happens, and also living in the United States and having some of that shit happen in the U.S. as well, seeing like the way they handle homeless people and the way, you know, dude, it's just a different place. And
homeless person in Switzerland.
And I'm not saying one place is better than the other. It's just like, I see now why there's this comparison that sometimes gets made, and also why some people in Europe,
a lot of banks.
That's where everybody,
there's a lot of businesses selling some stuff and nobody's ever walking in them. Notice
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some high-end places where, like, oh, look
ain't
at that.
Nobody walking in there.
Look at that tiara that's worth $25,000.
Art stores.
A lot of.
We walked past these places multiple times, and ain't nobody in there.
And maybe somebody
shows up. A lot of walking. No, we did a lot of walking.
Yeah. It was an interesting spot. If there are like ancient vampires, they probably live. That's where they would live, right?
Probably. Because there's a pretty decent, like, what I noticed, the difference between Switzerland versus like Scandinavia is Scandinavia goes to bed pretty quick. So like Norway, Denmark, Sweden, they restaurants close at like 8 o'clock, but Switzerland, like, you can still go to a restaurant like 9, 10 o'clock, something like that, you know. And speaking of restaurants, we dined at the exquisite McDonald's. We had McDonald's there. Even the McDonald's. You know how much? I don't know if you remember the bill, but for the three of us to eat at McDonald's was like $60. I mean, maybe that's how much it costs now in the United States, but I was just like,
dude, no, it was still fucking expensive. But I just wanted to have a Royale with cheese because they don't have the metric system out there. Yeah, just because of that. But it turns out fucking McDonald's is better.
It tastes good. And the fries, the fries taste like the old fries.
Yeah, it tastes like 1980s mm-hmm. McDonald's fries.
Good, salty, good tasting fries. Like the fries at McDonald's, I haven't eaten at McDonald's in since that Europe trip. I haven't probably eaten at McDonald's in like 10 years. Yeah. But
it was a great experience. Like, fuck.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was like, hey, to my daughter's like, hey, this is what it used to taste like.
I had like a fondue cheeseburger or something.
Yeah, dude, yeah, you so went good. Ridiculous. Yeah. I had a Royale with cheese, of course.
It was good.
And two fries because they were fucking really good.
And it was crowded there. They had seats outside for us. It was kind of cold, but they were busy. Like, yeah. It's not like, it doesn't seem like that's the shitty place to eat. Like, families were there eating, and it was two stories, and it was just filled.
Again, like weird parallel universe shit.
Yeah, the toys seemed like better in the Happy Meals.
Yeah,
they were like quality figures. It wasn't like some cheap piece of shit.
They just do better.
The
U.S. doesn't give a shit.
But everything is more expensive there. Like, for instance, on the way home, I think I might have told this to you already, but do you remember how much it cost for the five of us to get Starbucks in the Zurich airport?
Like $100.
More than that. So for us to get breakfast sandwiches and a coffee for five people at Starbucks in the Zurich airport, it was $160.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, that airport, dude.
They had...
The future.
Yeah.
Robots were fucking running around, cleaning the floors.
12.5 milligrams Zins.
Dude. And
I don't partake in that, but like...
Some friends of yours,
I took some pictures, and my friends were like, dear God, please. So here I am filling up any room I have in my backpack with like...
Your anus was full packs. Of them.
Yeah, I was... just stuck anywhere I could, like under my armpits. I'm like,
dude, those things are like,
I don't get them. I haven't even tried it.
People here like do the double dip. I think one of them is like a triple dip or some bullshit like that.
Fuck that,
dude.
You've tried it before, right? And you said
it made me want to sit down.
But didn't it make you nauseous too, or something?
Yeah, it made me puke.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, I got like somebody that is into these. Logan is the one.
Oh yeah,
Logan Prather, send me training, dude. He's an amazing. Well,
I think
he was like, he's the first one. Is like, hey Ed, like nicotine is good for ADHD. He's like, is it? Yeah, and he gave me one, put in my mouth, and I just sat down for.
I can't do anything anymore.
I think I'm in the weird fucking nicotine hole or whatever this place is. Great, apparently, for the ADHD, it actually does something, but...
But then we're already so used to performing with that, it's like...
Yeah.
Then you put that in your mouth, and you're like...
Oh, my powers are gone.
What am I doing? Like, I'm now...
Dude, the doors in the bathroom were electric, so you could... Like, Star Trek fucking doors.
Yeah.
There was robots rolling around, if you need anything.
The robots on the street... Weren't they delivering food or something? Or
yeah.
Kind of like New York?
Yeah. And the security at that airport in Switzerland was actually pretty impressive. Like from my perspective, I'm like, God, yeah, this is good.
Not like Mexico City.
Not like the United States.
Where they just gave me a metal knife at dinner again.
Yeah. Nah. And I'm not going to even compare it to Mexico, but like the U.S. has a lot to.
The U.S. does the same shit too.
Yeah.
Like.
But they were pretty good.
You know what one of my favorite things was the chocolate factory. Dude. That white chocolate. I don't give a fuck about the history of chocolate or Lindt.
Yeah, nobody.
But they had these chocolate fountains. Oh my God.
So
fucking gluttons.
They were like, this is, we got the cacao from the Americas.
Why did they
and
sound
we brought
like
it over. I don't know, dude.
Why did they start off sounding like Borat?
I don't know.
They, I have a chocolate. I have a chocolate.
They start off with cacao from the Americas and then they move it to Switzerland and then, and nobody was paying attention to any of this
shit.
I didn't
give a fuck about any of
that. There was this giant fucking fountain of chocolate.
It was like a fountain with spigots.
Yeah. So, and you would, they would give you like a small
spoon.
Oh yeah. They would give you a spoon. I was the one with the shot glass. Where did I get that? Kid gave it to me. But like they gave you the spoon and you were supposed to only pump it twice. It had like a sign, pump twice and enjoy.
Nah, my spoon was overflowing.
We were like,
I fucking, for that white chocolate, I went back like 10 fucking times. I was full.
Yeah.
I got full from eating spoonfuls of white
chocolate. Fuck.
Diabetes.
That shit was delicious.
And then at the end, they give you these balls of chocolate. Just a few samples.
Not a few, fucking few. Like,
I mean, there's supposed
like
to
this
be
this much. No. Like, because you could take one of each. So it was like this fucking much. Dude, and then you times that by five people. So we're like, ah.
And then also, we're like horrible people. We're not getting in line or like having limits. We're just.
Yeah, so
double fisting
one it. Maybe turned into like three, because you get to take one from each kind. So you're just like, yeah, but they don't give you like a bag or anything.
I found some in my pocket like a month later because I put shit out of the pot and I ate them. Fuck it.
Yeah. The fact that you didn't wash your pants either.
No, not my pants, my jacket.
Oh, okay.
And also, I didn't wash my jacket.
Yeah. No, you don't need to wash jackets.
Nah, fuck.
Yeah, the Chalk Factory, that was good. We went to some antique stores.
Yeah.
That was kind of,
yeah. We found a lot of weird shit there, but
their antique stores aren't very good.
No, they have cool shit, but not that cool shit.
Yeah, it's not. It's
like, I was looking for like old fucking paradise or some shit like that. And I all I found was like this old little fucking, Swiss Army knife that was kind of cool. It had pearl, mother of pearl handle.
We were in Zurich for like 4 to 5 days and we were kind of like running out of shit to do. Like I was texting Ollie. I was like, hey, what else can we do?
You can live a life of peace.
Yeah, basically.
And relax and not worry about a lot of things except your taxes.
And we were like, oh, you guys got free healthcare. And they're like, no, it's not free. Like I've had an appointment to see the doctor for 7 months. So like everybody who uses Europe and places like that, like, oh, look at them with their free healthcare and da 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 da. I can tell you that those citizens talk shit on their fucking healthcare. Like they're not stoked about it. Like I get the impression that they would rather be paying for it because it doesn't, they're not really stoked with it. He's like, I've had a doctor's appointment for 6 months now, and that's how long it takes. It's like, go to Mexico, you'll get a doctor's appointment same day with enough pesos, you know? Like, fuck.
I wanted to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of our Patreon members for the generous support. It's the only way we can bring some of these amazing people behind the microphone and have some of these amazing Midnight of the Soul conversations for you guys. If you're not already a part of the Patreon community, please consider joining us. We have our giant online training catalog for you guys to have access to, as well as some exclusive Sneak Reaper Industries merch drops for you guys at the Dead Drop tier. I would also like to thank the company Sneak Reaper Industries, one of our main supporters and a company that provides some of the most amazing earthenware, survival specific, and cutlery out there. Thank you for your support. And again, please consider joining us on the Patreon. And now back to the show.
We're heading back there in September.
Yes.
Again. Mm-hmm. We're probably already kind of almost close to being sold out of that class again.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
But
I think we're going to go to France, Italy, and possibly Germany on that trip.
Yeah. But like we keep getting people inviting us to put on these classes in a lot of parts of Europe. For now, we're going to be concentrating.
And other continents here coming too.
Yeah, maybe.
You're going to have to get one of those maps like I do in your house that like put a pin at all.
And a lot of shots, apparently. I have to get some shots.
Fuck, we got to do that too?
Yeah, if we're going to go to the
Africas?
The African continent, which we might go to. We're going to have to get some shots, apparently. Some Ebola shots.
That's it.
I don't know what we're going to... We're going to have to get some sort of shots.
So you're on a You're on a video call live with Pierce Morgan talking about Venezuela, and then it happens. Like,
well, it happens
January, a month later.
Yeah, a month later. Like, shit happens. When I say
you're a fortune shit, teller.
Nah. I mean, when they asked me, like, I thought that a legit operation to go and grab them was something that was going to be too risky. But apparently not.
So you text me at like 6 in the morning. You're like, hey, I've been up since 2 a.m. They just got Madura. And I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Like, fucking no clue.
Bro, I don't. But I'm over here like, does that have something to do with Shopify?
Dude
is that like, the Moderna virus? What?
It was like 1 in the morning or some shit like that. And I started, you know, and I have... 5-6 years ago, there was some sort of weird uprising against the Venezuelan government. And there were a few Instagram accounts that were linked to some sort of resistance movement there. And I shared some of their stuff and, you know, posted some things around figuring out armored vehicles and how to stop them. You know, some historical examples.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like really stoked about it. And they sent me like this weird... shout out from the Venezuelan resistance group. The same people started sending me messages around 1:30, maybe 2 in the morning.
Damn.
They were like, hey, there's something going on. Like there's this, there's these blackouts happening in Caracas, the capital. And there's a lot of like gunfire and shit's going off. And I started getting these videos. And one of the videos that I saw, which like to this day, like that's, are these blacked out fucking military helicopters that are clearly American just flying through the darkness. And there's this like corridor.
No fucking red lights or anything on.
There's this corridor of darkness in the city where these things were operating and just, they're just whizzing by. Nothing is touching these things.
Hmm.
And then this infamous picture now of Maduro, wearing this fucking tracksuit from Nike. But like, if you go back on my timeline, you can see some of the first videos that I was posting up, and they're pretty early on. Like, nobody was talking about this online while I was in the middle of the fucking night posting some of these things.
Hold on, let me interrupt real quick. We should get those tracksuits for the SHOT Show Vegas party. They're expensive.
They're expensive, these fucking tracksuits.
Yeah, he's a baller. That tracksuit's like, what, over $250?
He was all about that. I mean, he was all about being comfy, that Maduro fucking bus driver guy.
Anyways, keep going.
So, we see them. We see this guy in this tracksuit with these fucking headphones and
blacked out goggles,
which we've seen directly in some training sites that we've been at. And like, oh shit, they got him. Then I started hearing a shit ton of reports. But again, everybody sends me everything, like from real shit to fake shit.
Yeah,
sometimes
so
I post up,
have to like weed dude, through it.
And I'm not a reporter. We don't have like a staff behind me, like trying to figure some of these things out. So I have to do my best due diligence. I send some shit out to some people. Demolair is somebody that I cross reference some of the stuff that I put out. But every now and then I fuck up. It's like fake shit. Early on, somebody sent me this weird report of, a large amount of drones appearing over Caracas.
So that didn't happen?
I don't know. Like this is one of the X-Files
now,
level shit.
What kind
shit.
Of drones? Like Predator or like little small ones?
Blackout strategic strikes in certain parts of the city, and then a shit ton of drones over Maduro's.
Do you think
residency.
Those drones maybe like? So did quick EMPs.
So this is the weird part of the story that I heard early on, and now I'm hearing more of it now.
Okay,
and that's a few people have kind of like come out with this, but I didn't want to post anything about it. Like I sent it to a few people, and I just didn't know enough about if it's real or not. Yeah. They describe people collapsing from some sort of unseen energy weapon.
The fuck.
And
from the drones,
they were like they mentioned drones, and then they mentioned people like collapsing, like something is fucking them up.
Fuck.
And now is it an energy weapon? Is it? I don't know. I, dude, it was such a weird little story. Supposedly, a survivor of the attack wrote about it, and I sent it to a few people out there.
I've seen that. Like, I wonder too, like, if that could just be American propaganda.
It could be. But you have to then, you know, ask yourself, that was a pretty successful operation done in such a way where, I mean, I don't know a lot about that type of shit.
And we apparently had no casualties, too.
Damage to one of the helicopters. And also, I do a lot of, like, in my mind, I'm trying to do the math on the amount of people you could put in those helicopters and how many of those SOAR helicopters are there for air support not landing. So, like, that's not a lot of people for that level of operation. So it was an interesting event, is all I'm going to say. We probably saw the first showcasing of some weird ass technologies that we haven't really been aware of, I guess, or haven't been used live, I guess. But it was definitely a showcase of some sort of new capabilities that the United States probably has.
You had to guess, like, in your best guesstimate, would you say that he made a deal with us to be picked up? Because he knew it was going to happen anyways and probably didn't tell people? Or
so when I was on Pierce and a few other places, I kind of talked about this. My theory was that he was negotiating and that he wanted an easy out for himself, which is true. Like, he was negotiating all the way up to the end, apparently. In my mind, he was going to put himself on a plane and fly to either Russia or some other friendly country, probably Russia. And, you know, but right up to the end, it was like an on the table thing. And then
that smashed up.
Probably him.
So you don't think he was making a deal with Trump?
I think he was trying to make a deal. But on the other hand, he was also dancing on stage and saying, yes, peace, not the war. And just kind of antagonizing people, I guess. Maybe that's where we lost that negotiation. I don't know. But what was very apparent when this happened is that this is unlike anything we've seen in the past as far as an operation of this scale. And the decimation we saw, I posted a video of this, of the Cuban, because all of Maduro's security team were all Cuban nationals. Because he didn't trust the Venezuelans because of all the attempted coups and spies and shit like that he had going on. So every single member of his high level in close protection detail were all Cuban nationals. The head of the security there's pictures of him online being part of the former Pope's security detail when he went to Cuba, and John Kerry's detail when he went to Cuba. So there's like they had people of a certain level there, I guess, for the security. All of them went home in boxes.
Oof.
Which is interesting, you know? Like, why would you cremate all of these guys? Is it because there's no refrigeration there? You can't save the bodies? I don't know. But all of them went back. Again, I'm not... Maybe it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know. We'll look at where we live in day and age. So all of them went back home in boxes. They killed all of them. There's estimates of 80 casualties. I think it's much higher than that, probably.
What do you think? So, I mean, I get it. Like, Americans are the best war fighters because we're always doing it. I get it. But, yeah. Like, why do you think Venezuelan security over there sucks so bad?
Like, I think
that's their top tier, and it's like...
Yeah, well, how can you prepare for something you don't know?
So do you think they maybe
this is the reason why I think we just saw the showcasing of some new capability. Because the devastation that we saw there, I mean, think about it. The last time there was a snatch and grab of this nature was probably in Pakistan when they snatched up Bin Laden. And what happened there? You know, you saw a helicopter fucking crash, and there was some bullshit happening. There was a scuffle. There wasn't this giant security detail. There was a few armed individuals in this room, and what happened, right? And it was an eventful operation in a foreign country where they did not have permission to be in. And this was like in and out, dude. They were just in and out. I imagine we saw the showcasing of one. They probably had somebody inside detailing the movements of Maduro inside of whatever compound he was in. There is mentions, and I've seen like talk about this panic room that he had, which wasn't his favorite place to stay in. So they, at some point, I think they grabbed him before he went into that room, which again leads to me to believe that there was somebody in there who was like keying in on his position. And we saw a Maduro that was completely untouched.
Yeah, like, and he seemed very calm and like posing for the camera. So like, I wonder if like the conspiracy theorist in me is like, I wonder if he made a deal and was this, and then Trump's like, hey, we're gonna showcase some new shit. We'll bring you in unharmed, but this new shit, it's gonna get put out, you know, kind of as a warning to like, hey, don't fuck around.
I don't know about that. One, I think that that don't fuck around thing is like people know now. Like, I, dude, fuck, you know, the U.S. can just go somewhere and like, hey, give us your president.
Yeah,
take him.
He's mine now.
Yeah, which is a powerful message to send, you know, globally and specifically with the possible list of targets next, you know, Colombia, Mexico. But you, dude, it was.
I mean, yeah, what's okay? If we have that tech, what's to stop us from just going everywhere else? And like, why not do that?
I don't know.
Why not?
I mean, this
solve the problem real quick.
I'll say this. Like, I get, hey, the explosion of protest around U.S. interventionism in South America, Venezuela.
But Venezuela is stoked that we went down there, right? It seems.
I mean,
or is that bullshit?
I mean, most of the people that I know from, like, dude, I had a message from this, the border guard kid that I met out in Europe. He grew up as a Venezuelan. He grew up Venezuelan. He had a family that had property and farms and shit like that. When Chavez went into power, he said, like, oh, this is now my friend's property. Get the fuck out. So he was a witness to some of this stuff. And I've gotten nothing but positivity by most of the contacts that I have who are Venezuelan people who are not in Venezuela and some of who are in Venezuela. I've seen the positive response. This was a bus driver who was trying to figure out how to govern. And, you know, I heard these protesters in places like the United States screaming about the fact that the United States was about to steal all of their oil. Mm. You know?
Well, we did.
I mean, but the Venezuelans are haven't seen any of that fucking oil because it's been stripped from them by the Iranians, the Russians, and the Chinese. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a weird. I saw this weird cultural disconnect when people were protesting one thing and protesting the other, and they just want to protest everything that the United States does. But the Venezuelans were waking up their grandparents in the middle of the night, like, hey, they got Maduro. And these people were crying in celebration, you know? So who do you listen to or where do you gauge the positivity or negativity of this happening? One of the first things that the Venezuelan government did when it appointed its new president was liberate a shit ton of political dissidents. And people are crying, receiving their family members that have been in a hole for years because their opinion was different than the bus driver that was in charge of the government there.
They weren't processing their own fuel. So where were they going to process it? Or there was one place, there was a Chevron facility that that was processing in Venezuela, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So where else were they going?
Basically, U.S. companies had
Is it just sitting there in the crude form?
Basically, U.S. companies had shit ton of processing plants all over Venezuela in the 80s and 90s and shit like that when this Venezuela was one of the, it was Latin American Wakanda. You know, it was the best country to live in down there. And then they experimented with socialism and they elected Hugo Chavez, and the rest is history. A lot of those things were nationalized and basically they just fucking deteriorated and went into the ground. China had a bunch of investments there, which are now, you know, void and gone. A lot of it was being extracted there and basically put on fuel tankers and sent off. A lot of this shadow fleet that the Russians have been utilizing to get around a lot of the U.S. sanctions around the Ukrainian conflict, they were utilizing some of these tankers for some of that. It's a different oil. It's like a heavy oil. It needs to be processed in a very specific way, and they just didn't have that there. There was like some processing going on in the region by a Chinese company that was going to build it up. The U.S. has the ability to process it somewhere in the Caribbean as well, and a shit ton of parts in Texas. But yeah, basically,
might be a dumb question, but
the U.S. basically said like, it's my oil now.
This might be a really dumb question, but since there's so much oil in Venezuela, is there like a lot of dinosaur bones in Venezuela?
Maybe. There's gold. There's a shit ton of gold in Venezuela as well.
Because that's
which is how they were keeping some of their economy afloat. All the gold extraction. And they were looking at their neighbors that had more gold, and they wanted to move into French Guiana, which is a neighboring country, for the fuel and also the gold.
So bottom line. Give us your next prediction for Venezuela.
So you're
one for one now.
Venezuela.
What's going to happen?
So Venezuela is the world's largest proven oil reserve in the world by far. With the United States' apparent control over this country's possible future, I think they're probably... My prediction is that elections are going to magically materialize within this year, probably. That's one thing I think is probably going to happen.
So we'll put in whoever we want in there.
I don't know. That's not how it works, does it? It's going to be, I don't know. Whoever it is.
Silly me.
I don't know. Somebody's going to get elected.
Yeah.
And
that America just likes. That likes.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't like them.
We're also seeing this weird political shift in the United States around drugs. And I think we're probably headed towards some sort of legalization or steps into the realm of legalization to decriminalize some of these things.
Well, he just took marijuana off I think as a class.
Slowly but surely.
Oh, was it a class one?
Yeah.
And it moved it down to a class three. So right now there's no like president.
Yes. There's a constitutionally named president. She's female. Okay. The military is still in charge, but we saw the CIA and the US government land there and talk to a bunch of people, and the US is there. The U.S. has control
over
certain things. They're
helping kind of keep things going.
I think we're about to move into transition, and some of the people that are probably part of the military probably cut a deal with the United States, who are on that most wanted list, being listed as the Cartel of los Soles.
And they'll try to turn it into like a republic, you think?
I think they're going to go into elections. And what I'm keeping track of is this case that they have against Maduro, because that's an interesting one. It's like also like, dude,
did they snatch up his family too, or just
him and his wife? And his wife is also very active, was very active. Two of his sons were picked up by the United States trafficking drugs a few years ago.
Oh, shit.
So she's participating.
How come
in all this.
You're not seeing his wife in any of the pictures?
I don't know. They're probably being arraigned differently. I don't know if there's any sort of...
I get that it's photo op shit, but...
Yeah, I don't know. But I've seen them being transported together, but now they're separate probably. Hmm. Dude, that prison is pretty interesting. You know, 6ix9ine is in there. Diddy, Maduro. It's like the Suicide Squad.
Is that
squad.
The one that Epstein went to?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's Suicide Squad. It's Arkham Asylum, dude. The amount of people that are in there. But what I'm paying attention to is how the U.S. is going to link all of this together. By this, I mean Mexico is mentioned in the indictment many times against Maduro.
Do you think he knows some shit and he's just going to be like talking the...
Venezuelan embassies in Mexico were utilized by the Zetas and the Sinaloa cartel for activities, apparently. Diplomatic immunity and vehicles and planes were utilized for the movement of money. One of El Chapo Guzman's pilots was apparently documented flying in and out of an airport in Caracas. So, like, there's something there. And even if there isn't, there's something there. Hmm. So I think what they're going to try and do is basically connect... like all of it, like this massive conspiracy.
Like it's your fault.
Yeah. It's like, hey, it's your fault. And also like all of these people who were in government in Mexico during this time that facilitated some of these things, they're also complicit. We just saw a regime change. and the effectively kind of like the shift of America First into trying to figure out security in the American continent. You know, Greenland is on the list, which makes, so for people that are asking themselves.
Who owns Greenland right now? They're their own thing?
No, I think Norway, I think, is the one that's in charge of it. I think so. Look, check it out. But I think the reason why Greenland is on the watch list for the United States is because there's a bunch of Arctic buildup of Russian forces on the opposite side of that, and if you want a clear corridor into the North American continent, it's probably going to be over Greenland,
Denmark.
Denmark. See? So
Greenland is a autonomous territory of the Kingdom of Denmark.
Yeah. And the Danes do not want to join the United States. So there's already talks between the Europeans of what the response is going to be if the United States tries.
I don't like that.
But I get it though. I'm not justifying it, and this is not about that, but I understand why they're moving on Greenland. There's a buildup on the Arctic of a bunch of Russian military buildup in the Arctic. Hmm. And strategically, I mean, if you look at the globe and you see a corridor between Russia and the attacking the United States, that would be over Greenland. It would be one of the routes. And I think that's what the United States is trying to secure. Also, probably has a lot of things. Greenland probably has a lot of things underneath the ground that are going to help the United States economy over the coming years.
I always thought like Iceland and Greenland, like Iceland had something to do with Greenland.
No. I think it was like false advertising. Greenland was white and Iceland was green.
One of my bucket list is to go to it is Iceland, and I want to photograph. There's this plane that's abandoned there, and it's always, you can see the Northern Lights really well there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's like on my bucket list.
You want to get to that weird ass plane?
Yeah,
I
know a couple of people that have gone there.
I'll watch you online. I don't want to go to the Arctic fucking wasteland. Maybe
Iceland.
Once.
No, Iceland is the warmer one. Greenland is the ice one.
Frío. All right. Well, I guess we'll end it there. To be continued.
Vagisil.